The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers in heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And when he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of the sky, learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches become tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that he is near at the gates. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. Hope you're all having a good morning so far. I'm a little bit waiting for the coffee to kick in. A friend of mine was just down in Haiti and he sent me a bag of Haitian coffee, fresh out of the roaster from down there. It's great coffee, and but doesn't seem to have a lot of caffeine yet. So what I wanted to start by referencing this morning was that we are coming to the very end of our Catholic year. Our new year doesn't begin January 1st. It begins at the first Sunday of Advent, and that's when we kind of start the calendar over. So we're at the end of our year, which means we're going to talk about the end of time, the end of history, the end of the world. That's the theme for these two Sundays coming up. And when you talk about the end of the world, or the end of time, or the end of history, or the second coming, or all of those apocalyptic themes, they can be somewhat confusing. Because when the Bible talks to us about the end, it uses a lot of imagery, which on the one hand can sound very frightening. And so I wanted to sort of talk about what should be our Christian attitude before these themes, because we do believe as Christians, and we will pray this in our creed, that Jesus will come again. And he will come in a way that will be undeniable, unmistakable. He'll come with signs and wonders of some sort. And while he came at Christmas historically there in Bethlehem in a hidden way, the world didn't notice. The second coming is his glorious coming, and the whole world will see and experience that. The ancient Greeks, when they were coming up with their philosophy about the world and life, they had a very helpful understanding of what virtue was, and they would talk about virtue being in the middle. For something like bravery, which is a virtue, on an opposite extreme, you can have someone who's a coward, and then there's someone who's brave in the middle, but the other extreme would be to be reckless and foolhardy and take too many risks, right? So somehow you're supposed to stay in the middle. And I bring that up because our attitude before the end of the world can be at times in some of these extremes. And somewhere in the middle is the more Christian response. And so let's talk about those extremes here. One of them, on one end, before the idea of the end of the world, you can become very fearful. And think of these images of Armageddon and the four horsemen of the apocalypse and all of those signs and wonders, and it sounds like nothing but destruction and wrath of God. And if you read it in that way, then you become one of those people that's with a sign saying, repent, you know, the end is near, right? Jesus is coming back and he's gonna be mad and we're all gonna get it, especially the sinners. And that's kind of the fire and brimstone style of Christianity, which is not actually, I would say, true Christianity. In fact, those fearful ideas of the end of the world are more of a recent phenomenon, right? The early Christians didn't have the same fearful attitude. They knew Jesus was coming back, but there was something different in their hearts. It wasn't fear, it was hope. Because Jesus had said, go preach the good news to all the world, right? It's something beautiful, the fact that our Lord is so close to us, that he is coming. So on the one hand, we don't want to be fearful Christians, you know, the sky is falling type Christians. But on the other extreme, we can be the happy clappy Christians. These are the ones where Jesus is like a hippie nice guy that loves everyone, God loves everyone, everyone's going to heaven, and it's all good, right? Nothing to worry about at all. That's probably more common, I think. Now, there's a beautiful book and a movie that I really enjoyed watching. I don't often get teary-eyed, but when I watched the movie, I was quite moved. And for the most part, everything about it I enjoyed. It's the movie called The Shack, or the book The Shack, which has probably been, the book was probably written like 20 years ago or so. And the movie was wonderful. It just, at the end, they took it a little too far. The message at the end is basically to say that God loves us so much, he can't help himself. He just is going to bring us all to heaven. And so it goes a little too far. I hope it's like that. If it is, great. But that's not exactly what Jesus told us it was going to be like. So we don't want to be kind of happy-clappy Christians way over here. We want to be somewhere in the middle, which means we're not going to be afraid. We're not going to be foolish, but we are going to be faithful. Okay? We're going to be prepared for the end. You see, Jesus coming back, in the early Christians, they were mostly Jewish, and for a Jewish person, in the Psalms and in the Old Testament, the idea of the Messiah coming was a moment of glory. It was a moment of liberation and salvation. They were hoping for that day. And the early Christians were also hoping and joyfully awaiting our Lord's coming. So what did our Lord say to do in the meantime? Because we're in this period of history where Jesus says he wants us to preach the gospel that all people may be saved. And we're in that mission, you could say. And until that's done, and we don't know how long it's going to be, we need to keep preaching this good news. But Jesus told us things like, make sure you have your lamp lit. Make sure you're attentive to his coming. Make sure you stay awake. He talks about making sure you wear your wedding garment, right? Everyone receives an invitation to heaven. That's absolutely true. God wants everyone there. But in a certain sense, we're also called to accept that invitation in our heart, right? To put on our wedding garment, which is a sign of living a virtuous life, charity. So there's ways that we can be prepared because, yes, at the end of our life, Jesus is going to be there and we're going to see him face to face and he's going to say, welcome, would you like to come in to heaven? And the catch there is simply that it's not in that moment that you say yes or no. Your yes is your life. Have you lived a life that said yes to God? Hopefully it's a big yes. Hopefully it's a lifelong yes. But even the little yes at the end, it works. I've been at many bedsides. It's beautiful to see a conversion there that no one will ever know about or hear about. But it does happen. But it's a little foolish to wait to the very end as well. And so this morning, let us, before the apocalypse and the book of Revelation and all of these somewhat scary-sounding ideas, realize that Jesus is coming. It's him. We know him, and we know he loves us, and we know what he did for us the first time. Right? And there's nothing to be afraid about. But let's make sure our hearts are open and ready. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.